Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Having enjoyed sense gratification for many, many years, O King Parikshit, Yayati was accustomed to it, but he gave it up entirely in a moment. Just as a bird flies away from the nest as soon as its wings have grown. Purport. That Maharaj Yayati was immediately liberated from the bondage of conditioned life is certainly astonishing. But the example given here is appropriate. A tiny baby bird depends fully on its father and mother, even to eat, suddenly flies away from the nest when its wings have grown. Similarly, if one fully surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is immediately liberated from the bondage of conditioned life, as promised by the Lord Himself, Aham Tvam Sarva Papyebhyo Mokshayishyami. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.18, Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasa Abira Sumbaya Vanakasadaya Yényé Csa Pápája Da Pásrajásra Jásudhanti Taszmai Prabha Visnavé Namaha Kirata Huna Andra Pulinda Pulkasa Abira Sumba Yavana and the Kasha races and even other addicted to sinful acts can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord, for He is the Supreme Power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. Lord Vishnu is so powerful, He can deliver anyone at once if He pleases to do so. And Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, can be pleased immediately if we accept His order by surrendering unto Him, as Maharaj Yayati did. Maharaj Yayati was eager to serve Vasudeva, Krishna, and therefore as soon as he wanted to renounce material life, Lord Vasudeva helped him. We must therefore be very sincere in surrendering ourselves unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Then we can immediately be liberated from all bondage of conditioned life. This is certainly expressed in the next verse. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Miritam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminite Namine Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyaresh Dharine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Vanchakapadrubhyah Chakripaya Sindhumbheva Chapatitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Krishna Krishna. So, first of all, I would like to thank the devotees the opportunity that I could sit here in front of you. And I would like to definitely ask your blessings to be able to give this class because my mother language is not English, so I will speak in Hunglish today. Means Hungarian English. You know? So please forgive me all of my mistakes that I will commit and empower me to speak a few proper way. The lectures go still 8:30, and after, if there are some corrections or I have to leave some time. Yeah, maybe 25. Okay. That's it. We are getting close to the end of story of Yayati Maharaj, Yayati Maharaj's story. And finally, when he enjoyed material sense gratification for a very long time, he had some realizations that he wasn't satisfied by that. He wasn't happy by just enjoying his senses. And then, by the mercy of the Lord, he understood this fact, and he told that nice story with the goats to his wife. And after, he made arrangement to give the different parts of his kingdom to his sons, and now he's on the renunciation path. Srimad Bhagavatam is for the transcendentalists. Many times when we speak to people about the Vedas, we used to say to them that most books of the Vedas are about material life, how to live nicely in this world, how to enjoy this world the best. So Veda means science, and to be happy in this world we have to have scientific approach. So because most of the people in this world desires to have sense gratification and they desire to enjoy themselves in this world, therefore the Vedas give the best way for that. So there is Karmakanda and different other parts of the Vedic literatures where we can find the science how to enjoy in this world. But Srimad Bhagavatam is completely different. This is Bhagavata Purana. This is for those people who understood already that this world is not a real home, and they want to have some real happiness, real life. As it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, that this is for the Nirmat Saranam. This is for those people who wants to have real transcendental happiness, and those people who want to renounce from this world completely. And therefore, this story also encouraging us to be very conscious with these things, and to don't rescue our very valuable time doing nonsense gratification activities. Yayati Maharaji was very fortunate. He had material desires, and he fulfilled them somehow. Material desires can't fulfill, but he enjoyed material sense gratification for a long time. But after that, by the mercy of the Lord, he understood that this is not the real life. But we don't have to take this example. Okay, maybe I will enjoy my life, I will enjoy my senses, all of my life, and when I will be old, you know, then maybe I will start spiritual life. It's not a proper understanding. There is a Hungarian saying, I don't know is it working in English or not, that because Yayati Maharaj said this story with the goats, but there is this saying that sometimes even the old goats licks the salt. Is it works in English? Because the nature of the goats is licking the salt. They are enjoying it. Even cows do that. Did you know? In the goshala, they have some salt to licking. Yeah, this big one. Yeah, in Krishna Valley, I found that they have this big, you know, salty salt, like salt crystal, and they give to the cows to licking. And they enjoy it very much, and it's good for their health. Actually, it's not just for enjoyment, it's good for their digestion, I think, or somehow it's nourishing them. And it is said that even a few days the cows finishing a so big salt. But also goats have this nature, and therefore there is this saying that even the old goat licking to the salt means that even sometimes old people also very eager for sense gratification. Prabhupada used to say this story with that old person who begged to the doctor, just give me five more years. He was in his dying bed, and he was very close to leave his body, but he had so many material desires, so he were begging for the doctor, please give me just five more years to enjoy in this life. And so it's very dangerous to live a materialistic life throughout our whole life, and maybe thinking that, when I will be old, I give it up. Because if we engage ourselves in sense gratification, our desires become enrooted more and more, so it's becoming deeper and deeper. Not just be fulfilling them, and now I'm satisfied. A few verses ago, I think it was last Monday, there was a very nice lecture in that verse about if we put, you know, oil to the fire, put ghee to the fire, then the fire does not finish, is it even increasing? So if we fulfill, try to fulfill our material desires, then it will be increasing. So from this story, we don't have to learn this part, that enjoying life and then we will give up. But we have to study from the example of Yayati Maharaj that when we have the opportunity to give up our material desires, we have to do that. And it is very, very nice example with the small bird and the wings. So, for example, if we not very sincere in our spiritual activities, spiritual practices, that we, for example, we can have that experience that we will be kicked out from the nest before our wing has grown properly. So we does not have wasting time. Just a few days ago, I was in Bond Street in London distributing books with my good friend Nam Sankirtan Prabhu, and we were just next to the metro station, and there was some, you know, announcement that there is some danger, and people had to come out from the metro. There was some, you know, some problem. You know, just hundreds of maybe thousands of people just come out from the metro very, you know, very anxious way. They were very fearful. They came out, you know, running, some of them. And this, how to say this sound, very strong sound, this siren. Yeah, this siren was ringing and everything. And, you know, policies came, you know. And nowadays, people are very, how to say, at least myself, because we are very anxious hearing from these terror activities, you know, terrorist attack. And I was in my mind, I thought that maybe this is some terror activity going on here. So we are in a danger. And Dhamma Sankirtan Prabhu approached me and he said, "Today is the anniversary day of London terror activity," which was few years ago, I think, or there was some terrible terror activity few years ago in London. 7/7. Yeah, 7/7. Yeah, and that was that day, you know. And said, maybe it's some, you know, they do some anniversary activity today. So, but he said he was very Krishna conscious as usual. And, you know, I was very fearful, you know, coming London, foreign country, you know, I heard there was some terror activity, and now this is the anniversary day. Oh, very good. What can be better than this? And now Sankirtan Prabhu had very, very jolly mood. He said, "But we are doing the bad thing, you know, distributing books. What could be better than this? Maybe there will be some bomb, you know, and we will doing books." So, "Hi, sir. Would you ask me a quick question? I'm just a monk from Hare Krishna." Hare Krishna. In that way, we can leave the body. Or maybe just say anything, you know, with a Srimad Bhagavatam with your hand. You will feel very comfortable to leave your body. It's the best thing to do. Sometimes it is said, "What are you waiting for to, you know, to lie in a hospital with different other machines, you know, around you and unfriendly doctors, you know, try to convince you that you will have some few days more." But what can be better than just distributing books and having some, you know, big bang in your absence, and then you just leave the body. It's very, very fortunate way. So, but I was thinking, it was quite pacifying me. Maybe it's a good thing. But after that, I was thinking, am I ready for that? So when that bomb is coming, will I think about Srimad Bhagavatam, which is in my hand, or I will think about my mummy, or, you know, who knows? And my mummy, she's a devotee, so it's not a bad thing, but not the best thing, maybe. So from this story and from all the other stories of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to understand that our life is not a joke. We have to be very, very serious in our spiritual practices, and we have to focus on spiritual life, that our wings could grow in time. So as soon as possible, we have to make our wings grown. Then when death comes and we will kicked out from the nest, we will have wings to fly back to the spiritual world. And finally, sorry, finally, Yayati Maharaj showed a very good example for us, renouncing from material enjoyments and choosing the path of devotional service and renouncing from this material world. And in this ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find descriptions of the dynasties. It is said that there are 10 different themes of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10 different topics. Atra sargo visargasta, visargascha sthanam poshanam uttaya, manvantareshanukata nirutho muktir ashaya. So there are these 10 topics. I read the English of this. Yeah. So, the creation of the universe, sub-creation, planetary systems, protection by the Lord, the creative impetus, thank you, the change of manus, the science of God, retiring home, back to Godhead, liberation, and summum bonum. So these are the 10 topics. And this dynasty topic, I think this is connected with this creation, because the whole universe is filled with living entities through these dynasties. Or we can say this is also connected with Manvantara, Eshanukata. Yes, Eshanu, Isha Anukata means Isha, means the Lord, and Anu means the follower of the Lord, of the devotees of the Lord. So throughout these dynasties and these stories, we find wonderful personalities, wonderful devotees who are dedicated themselves to the Lord, and in this way, These stories about the dynasties are very connected with the spiritual subject matters. And it is said because these dynasties are connected with the Lord, therefore it's very purifying to hear about them. Just hear about the names of these personalities, these stories are very purifying, very elevated topics. So the first part of ninth canto, Shukadev Goswami finishes his talk about the Sun Dynasty, and then he started to speak about the Moon Dynasty now. After Lord Ramachandra appeared in the Sun Dynasty, now we can hear about the Moon Dynasty. In this dynasty will Krishna appear. So it is said that it's very auspicious to hear about even Yayati Maharaj's story, because he is one of the forefather of the Moon Dynasty, and therefore it's very auspicious to hear about. And I heard one lecture from Druta Karma Prabhu. Do you know Druta Karma Prabhu? Sometimes he comes here? No. We are very fortunate sometimes he comes to Hungary. He's who does not know him, just a few words about him. He's a very glorious preacher in ISKCON. He's fighting very gloriously against evolution theory. He's a scientist and archaeologist, disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And so he did researchment after, from an archaeology point of view, after different, I wrote the exact word here, findings that proves that mankind is very old, not just few thousand years ago we come down from the trees like monkeys or something, but we are, the mankind is very, very ancient. And he found some findings from 200 million years ago made by people, made by intelligent people. Or I think his oldest finding is 3 billion years old. It was found in Africa, a ball, a black like globe, and different parts of the planet is drawn there. How to say too? So there is the signature of the different lines of the different parts of the planet. So definitely made by human beings. And so it proves that we are not just like monkeys or like amoebas, but we have very glorious, forefathers. We have a very glorious family background in this world. means that, for example, Yayati Maharaj was one of our forefather as well. So this whole evolution theory is very, how to say, destructive, because convincing people that we are just one of the species of animals, we are just kind of little sophisticated animals. But in this lecture, Druta Kamal Prabhu said it's very encouraging to hear about these dynasties, because in this way we can understand we have a very glorious background, family background. We are not just, you know, some death matter. And he said that it's very good to know about this, because in this way we don't want to be just wasting our time being a slayer in this consumer society, but we want to do some glorious things. So if we have a glorious family background, reading in the Vedas, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, then we are encouraged, okay, I'm something bigger than just a monkey. So it's a very good approach. And therefore it's very important for us to hear about these dynasties in this ninth canto. And I know that here in the UK many devotees has really glorious family background, being maybe many of you take birth in devotee families, or you have like Indian family background who are also following the Vedic culture. But unfortunately most of the people in the West, we can't be so proud to our family background, because we took birth in very sinful families, meat eaters like atheists. But to read about these great dynasties, we can understand at least a few thousand years ago we had some glorious relatives as well. And when I was asked to give this lecture, I don't know how Maya convinced me to accept this, but somehow, when I read first the purport, I found this verse, Kirata Hunandra. And this verse is very famous in Hungary. Do you know why? Yeah, because the Hunas, yes. So our understanding in Hungary that Hunas mentioned here in this verse are the Hungarians. So we are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And not the very best way, you know. I just read what Srila Prabhupada mentions in this connection, because this verse is in the second canto. And then Srila Prabhupada gives a purport to it. And it is said that Kirata Hunandra. Yeah. So Hunas. Prabhupada started to listing the different nations mentioned in this purport. He says something about Kiratas. I don't remember. But Hunas are the second. And it is said that the area of East Germany and part of Russia is known as the province of the Hunas. Accordingly, sometimes a kind of hill tribe is known as the Hunas as well. So Prabhupada says that East Germany and part of Russia. So according geography, it's like Hungary, because between Russia and Germany, so we are there. When I was in India, many devotees asked me that, where are you from? And I said, I came from Hungary. And many times it happened that devotees asked back, oh, Hungary, is it a quite important city in Russia? Do you understand? So they asked, is Hungary a quite important city in Russia? So they thought it's a city, not a country, you know. it was good for the ego, you know, thinking, yeah, I'm quite important, I'm Hungarian, so Hungary is just a city in Russia, you know. You know, we had connections with the Russians. So according this, it's part of Russia, yeah, according the Indian understanding. So yeah, the Hunas are the Hungarians. And maybe Krishna forgive me, because I sell many Srimad Bhagavatams with this verse in Hungary. I used to mention to me, because you know, Hungarians are very nationalists. And they love to be important. They have some theory that Jesus was also Hungarian. Did you hear that? You didn't know that he was Hungarian. So there are so-called scientists amongst them, then proving that Jesus was Hungarian. Amazing. I even met with people who said that. It's very funny. Who said that, you know, Lord Balaram have this symbol, how to say? plown, yeah, using for Shishiratha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shishigonitai ki jai. Using for producing grain. Yeah, he has that. And it is said that this is a ancient Hungarian symbol. And he said, and it is said that Krishna and Balaram are also Hungarians. I heard that. But it's a good thing because they are meditating in Krishna and Balaram. So it's very good for them, at least. I hope that Krishna and Balaram forgives this, you know, this great offense. But okay, so what I wanted to, yeah, so Hunas. So I used to say to the Hunas in Hungary that this, you know, in this Bhagavatam, Hungarians I mentioned as a nation qualified to be Shuddhantik, to be purified, because it is said in this verse. It's possible even for the Hunas. You know, usually I skip that even for those sinful nations like Hunas. I just said Hunas are qualified to be purified by the mercy of the Lord. And actually this is the fact, because in this purport Srila Prabhupada, he also says that according the cult of devotion, generally known as the Vaishnava cult, there is no bar against anyone advancing in the matter of God realization. A Vaishnava is powerful enough to turn into a Vaishnava, even a Kirata, etc., as above mentioned. So Vaishnavas are so powerful that they can purify even the most fallen people, like the Hunas. So, and it's a very wonderful thing, because in this verse it is mentioned that it is possible because the Lord, means Vishnu, is the supreme force. But it does not mention in this verse that by Lord Vishnu's grace these sinful people can be freed from material bondage or can be purified. But it is mentioned here, but if they take shelter of the devotees of the Lord, then it's only possible. It indicates a thought that the lords of the devotees are even more powerful than the Lord himself, meaning that the Lord is all-powerful, so he's the source of all power, but by his sweet will, he gives the power to the devotees to Shuddhanti, to purify the fallen souls, to engage the fallen souls in his service. There is a very nice story. Have you heard about Birba before, right? Birba, he's very famous, a devotee. It is said that he was a disciple of Gopabhatta Goswami. And he was a secretary or an advisor of the king Akbar. He was a Muslim king. And there is a story according this, who is most powerful and who is the supreme source of power. Because there was a story when Akbar arranged a competition between his ministers, and the competition was who can glorify Akbar, King Akbar, the best way. And you know, the different ministers came and they started to glorifying King Akbar in a very nice way. You are so glorious, you are so truthful, you are so, how to say, wise, so merciful, so generous. They started to. And after many ministers, Birba came. Birba, he was a pure devotee of the Lord, he was a Vaishnava. And he was a very close friend of Akbar as well. And everyone knows in the kingdom of Akbar that Birbal is very, very clever, very smart. He was a big philosopher. And then Birbal started to glorifying King Akbar. And he said, you know, Akbar, you are so glorious, you are so wonderful, that I can say that you are even more powerful than Allah. And you know, to say that to a Muslim, and in a kingdom of a Muslim king, it's, you know, it's equal to death. And all the ministers take their sword and started to attack Birba to kill him. But somehow Akbar said, okay, we will kill Birba so they wanted to kill Birbal, not Akbar. And Akbar said, okay, just stop for a second. We will kill this guy because he said this great offense against Allah. But just let him say a few words. Maybe he can, explain why he said this. And then Birbal started to say, yeah, I said it because there is one thing that you can do, Akbar, and God can't do. Therefore, I said that you are more powerful than him. That because there is one single thing that you can do and Allah can't do. And then Akbar asked, what is that thing that I can do and Akbar can do and Allah can't do? And Birbal said, because, for example, you can kick out anyone from your kingdom if you want to. So you can say anyone to just leave my kingdom and he have to go to another country. But Allah can't do it. Because the whole universe is his kingdom. The whole creation is his own property. So where to kick? Where to send anyone? Because if you, maybe he says that get out from my kingdom, but where to go? Because the whole entire creation is his own kingdom. So therefore, you can do something what Allah can do. And I said this story because with this Shuddhanti Tasma, with this Kirata word, verse is the same thing. Then, because it is said here that if those fallen souls mentioned in this verse can be purified by the mercy of the devotee of the Lord. Because, you know, Krishna has his own laws given to himself. And he never breaks those laws. And one of these is that he never force anyone. He gives this free will to the living entities. And if the living entities want to be separate from him, if they want to live a sinful life, if they want to forget him, then Krishna allows that. But the devotees of the Lord have this power, carrying the Lord to the very fallen souls, like to the place of the Hunas, and they can distribute Krishna consciousness there. And actually, this was the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. He was empowered by Krishna completely to take Krishna to those boxes in India, in Vrindavan. Boxes contains his books. And Srila Prabhupada was empowered enough to take those boxes within Krishna to the Jaladuta, and he brought Krishna to the West in the form of his books and in his heart. There is this wonderful verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam mentioning that the Lord, the devotee of the Lord, they have Krishna in their heart, and they can give the Lord to anyone. For example, the word Narada Muni. Narada means the person who can give Nara, who can give Lord Narayan to anyone. And in this way, Srila Prabhupada could be Krishnada, because he gives Krishna to the entire world. So we can say that Srila Prabhupada was even more powerful than Krishna. It does not mean that he's like God, he's the devotee of the Lord. But Krishna gave him this power to bring him to this very sinful place of the Western people, like Kiratas and Hunas, and to give this opportunity them to came in contact with the Supreme Lord and with devotional service, and in this way they can get purified from this material condition. And there is a wonderful thing, because Srila Prabhupada had unlimited love to Krishna. Therefore, he could say that Krishna is mine. It is said Krishna Saitamar. A Vaishnava is the proprietor of Krishna. He has Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, definitely he had Krishna, because he had Krishna Prem, and therefore he had Krishna. So he was empowered to give Krishna to others. But the wonderful thing is that because Srila Prabhupada ordered his follower to preach, In this way, he empowered us as well to give Krishna to others. Probably most of us, we don't have Krishna Prema yet. We have inside, but it's not awakened yet. But by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have this power, we have this opportunity to just give Krishna to others, like Prema Bhaktas. So, for example, there are Srila Prabhupada's books, no different from Krishna. And we are empowered to give these books to anyone. It means that we are empowered to give Krishna to anyone. So in this way, if we follow the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual teachers, spiritual masters, that we have this wonderful opportunity to serve the Lord in this way, to give Him to others. And in this way, we can engage ourselves in this wonderful Krishna consciousness movement and in this preaching activities. And I just wanted to mention a very personal thing, if you allow me, that all of us, every devotee, have a personal relationship with Srila Prabhupada, I'm sure, because he's our founder Acharya, and we have to have a personal relationship with him. But personally, I feel that this relationship is experienced in a very wonderful way here in the Bhaktivedanta manner, because whenever I come here, I can go to Srila Prabhupada's room and I can feel his existence there, his presence there. And I just wanted to mention this nice thing that happened to me, that I was in Hungary the last few months. It was a very busy part of my life. It was very busy. And I felt really disturbed a few days in Budapest. And I remember that one morning program, we used to recite this verse, the lotus feet of the spiritual master. And when I was praying to Srila Prabhupada with this verse, I closed my eyes and somehow I felt myself being here in the Bhaktivedanta Manor in the room of Srila Prabhupada. So somehow this thought, this remembrance came to my mind, and it was very pacifying. I felt Srila Prabhupada's mercy and shelter. And so I just tried to be merged into that mood, being in Srila Prabhupada's room, and pray to Srila Prabhupada to give his shelter. And after a few days, just this miracle happened that I was asked to come to the UK to do some books. So it was, I felt that Srila Prabhupada was inviting me here so mercifully to have his association and have the association of the UK devotees to make some relief from the busyness in preaching in Hungary. So when I was just arrived and I went to Srila Prabhupada's room the first time 10 days ago, I felt, yeah, Srila Prabhupada kindly invited me to do some service here. And I found that the people of the UK are very ripe for Krishna consciousness. I was fortunate enough to do books in Oxford Street, and I met with many, many people who were very, very interested. They were very open to Krishna consciousness. And they are, appreciating what devotees do here. They are very familiar with Krishna consciousness. So I heard it is said that UK is the best place to preach in Krishna consciousness, so you are very fortunate all that you have this opportunity. And you are also very fortunate because you are in the position to give shelter to the Hunas now, because one of them is here now. So please be kind and pray for me to I could be a faithful servant of Srila Prabhupada and my spiritual master, and I can try to be a good instrument in their hands to give shelter to the even more fallen Hunas at home. Then they can be Shuddhanti Tasmai, they can be purified and take the shelter of the divine couple. So, thank you for tolerating me here, and thank you for being so kind to allow me to say a few words. I promise that I will improve my English abilities and maybe I can serve you in a better way. So if you have some corrections, please just express. Or if you have some comments, you can say as well. But if you have some questions, I'm also try to be ready to answer it. Okay. You don't want to ask any questions because you know that I can't answer. In a proper way. So thank you for your kind attention, dear devotees, and Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Grantarach Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Jai Nitya Gopinanda.